in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 1 together. John chapter 14, verse number 1. This is probably one of the most popular, one of the most known passages of Scripture when it comes to the I Am declarations of Jesus. We quote this passage of Scripture many, many times. John 14, verse number 1. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want us to notice again, verse number 6, Jesus said, I am, this is the declaration now, the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be able to come together to worship you in song. We're grateful for everyone that has been involved in our service this morning. Lord, our desire is to be a blessing. Our desire is to draw our hearts closer to you. Lord, we understand through your word that it is the outer man that perisheth, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And so, Lord, I pray that that inward man would be renewed through the preaching of your word, through the singing of these hymns. I pray, Lord, that we would draw closer to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would use your word to convict us and guide us into your truth. I pray, Lord, that you would bind Satan and his demons, that your word would fall on good ground. And I pray that you'd be glorified with our response to your word this morning. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 14, there's a lot that's happening. It paints for us so many pictures of the work of God. It paints for us the wonderful picture of Jesus' peace and his deity. You know, we will face troubles that come into our life. There's no doubt about it. Troubles, trials, difficulties will come. But Jesus teaches us in John 14 that we don't have to be dominated by those troubles. We don't have to be consumed by a troubled heart. Let not, Jesus said, your heart be troubled. If you trust in the God of Israel, you can also trust in me. It speaks of his deity there. Jesus is God. It also paints for us a picture of heaven. And we find in this passage of Scripture, the Lord says, my Father's house. He unfolds a cultural portrait of heaven, using and illustrating the Father's house. And it really marks the nearness of God's presence. It was in his book, Heaven, that Randy Alcorn said these words as he talks about the first time he went scuba diving and he saw all the different varieties of fish. And he said this in his book, I can imagine our first glimpse of heaven will cause us to similarly gasp in amazement and delight. The first gasp will likely be followed by many more as we continually encounter new sights and that endlessly wonderful place. And that will be just the beginning, because we will not see our real eternal home, the new earth, until after the resurrection of the dead. And it will be far better than anything that we have ever seen. The Bible says that in my Father's house are many mansions. And notice the Bible says they're already there. It is already done. Jesus said, I'm going away. Now, where was Jesus going? Well, ultimately, we know he was going to his Father. But before he would reach his Father's house, he would go to a cross. And Thomas said in verse number 5 of our text, Lord, we do not know the way, and we do not know where you're going. You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The preparation will be made through the cross so that we could go to the Father's house. When I was a kid, I remember there was a really bad storm. And the storm had caused a significant amount of damage in our small town. I live 45 minutes away from a city, a town that had a larger store, a Walmart. I don't think it was a Walmart. I think it was a Kmart. Walmart didn't come to Canada until 1994. Kmart came in 1963. Some useless information there for you, but I think it was a Kmart. And so we would drive 45 minutes to go to Kmart. And I remember my cousin worked in Nova Scotia Power. And so he told us that all the roads, the pathway, the passage to go to New Glasgow was closed down. You couldn't make it. And we had heard on the radio that a crew had gone out and they had prepared a passage so that we were able to go to New Glasgow. And this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying the ultimate destination is the Father's house. He wants us to go to the Father's house. But in order for us to go to the Father's house, he needs to prepare a place. He needs to prepare a way. And this is where we get this beautiful passage when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now notice he's using the article there, "the." He's not saying that he's one of many ways, but that he is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so my outline this morning is very simple. I want us to look at, first of all, the way, then the truth, and then the life. Notice, if we could, first of all, the way. The way. This is the way that Jesus declares, the way that we can have a relationship with God. Now, we were created by God to have a relationship with him. Can we turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis? You can hold your place in the Gospel of John and turn to the book of Genesis, the beginning, and verse chapter number 2. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 4, Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 4. The Bible says this: "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist of the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God," notice verse 7, "and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, when we read the story of creation, we read about a variety of distinctions. God made distinctions in his creative power. He first of all made distinctions in the light and darkness. He separated light and darkness. He separated male and female. And we are separated as humanity from the animals. Henry Martin said this: "Man was made a living soul, capable of glorifying his maker. Unlike the beasts that perish, his body was made of earth, but his soul of heaven. The breath of God, not of common air, made him a rational, immortal creature." John Wesley said, "The spirit of man was made in the image of God, endowed with understanding, will, and liberty, a spiritual nature that no beast of the field can claim." God gave humanity purpose. He gave humanity a task. He gave man dominion. And the Bible says that we lost our way. In fact, Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray." And Jesus declares, "Wait a minute, I am the way to have a relationship with God again." Can we go to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter together? The Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 7, Matthew 7. And notice what the scriptures say here in verse number 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21. Matthew 7 verse 21 says this, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now who will enter the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." In fact, he said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." And then Jesus said, "Well, I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Jesus said, "He that doeth the will of my Father will enter into the Father's house." Now, what is the will of his Father? Well, I'm glad you asked. Can we go back to the Gospel of John and the sixth chapter together? John chapter 6. And notice what the Bible says in verse 39. John chapter 6 and verse number 39. Look what the Bible says, verse 39. This, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, helps us. John 6, 39. "And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." What is the will of the Father? The will of the Father, don't miss this, is to come to Jesus. He is the way to the Father's house. He is the way to restore our relationship with God. And so we see number one, the way. Number two, would you write it down? The truth. Jesus is the truth. Now, Jesus is the full revelation of how we can go to the Father's house. So many people today in our world are confused with truth. Others are angry at truth. But what is truth? Well, at the core of it, truth is ontological. Ontological meaning truth is reality. Truth is the way that it is. Truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. Truth isn't dependent on your feelings. Truth isn't, dependent on the experiences of your life. You are in Kitchener Baptist Church this morning. And if you were to say to me, "Well, Pastor, yeah, that's your truth, but that's not my truth," I would say to you, you are wrong. You are at Kitchener Baptist Church this morning. Truth is the way that it is. And because there is truth, it means that there is also error. Adrian Rogers, a Baptist preacher of the past, said this, "It is better to be divided by truth than to be united in error." Jesus, he said, is absolute truth, and all truth is God's truth. I like that. All truth is God's truth. Three chapters after Jesus declared to be the truth, we notice what he says as the cross is near. Can we go to John 17? And notice what it says in verse 17. John 17, chapter 17, verse 17. The cross is near, and Jesus makes this incredible statement in verse number 17. He says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word," look at this, "thy word is truth." Now, we know as Bible students that there's a strong connection and reference in the Bible as we read John 1:1, that Jesus is the Word, and the Word is truth. Don't miss it. And Jesus is truth. You know, there are two types of revelation that God gives to our world today. First of all, there's what we call general revelation. General revelation is the revelation of God in creation. And this is general because it breaks down language barriers. The psalmist said that it is a language, creation speaks a language that everyone can understand. The heavens declare. the glory of God. And it's through this general revelation that the power of God and his Godhead are revealed. Truth that he is the creator, that he is above all. This is general revelation. Now, the Bible says that when our society takes general revelation, the general revelation that he is provided for all, when they take this general revelation and they turn his truth into a lie, you can read about this now in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. God gives over that society to uncleanness and vile affections and a reprobate mind. And we see that in our world today. This is general revelation. He reveals himself. God reveals himself in creation. And then there's a second revelation. We would call it special revelation. And this special revelation is the truth of God revealed in the Word of God. And not only do people reject or suppress, we'll use the word suppress, the general revelation of God, but the Bible also says that people will reject and suppress the special revelation that God reveals in his word. Can we go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 in our Bibles together? 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse number 3. Look what the scriptures say. Paul writing to a young man. His son in the faith, he calls him his son in the faith, and he writes in verse number 3 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts or their own desires, they shall heap to themselves teachers." They will gather together teachers having itching ears. Look what the Bible says, verse 4. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables." Now, I want to make it clear this morning that we don't need fables. We need truth. In our world today, our world desperately needs truth. Why? Well, let's go to the Gospel of John again and the 8th chapter, John chapter 8. And notice what the scriptures say in verse number 30. John chapter 8 in verse number 30. And look what the Bible says, John chapter 8 and verse number 30. The Bible says, "And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Now remember, we've already established the fact that God's word is truth. If you continue in my word, in my truth, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, the Bible teaches us that there is freedom in truth. The reality is, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is a burden. Freedom is found in knowing the truth. Now, I want to give you some biblical truths this morning. First of all, I want us to think about the truth about our sin. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable." The Bible says, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Now, the idea of doing good here is according to God's standard. It's not the standard of a religious person. It's not the standard of maybe your neighbor or family member or someone that you would lift up as a good individual. This is God's standard. And the Bible says that according to God's standard, there is none that is good. Paul said in Romans 6:23, "For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God." The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We would understand that Jesus was the only righteous person that ever walked this earth. And with about 7 billion people on this earth today, the Bible says that there is not one righteous. There is not one who can obtain the very glory of God by their own merit. Here's the truth this morning. This preacher is a sinner. I'm a sinner by my nature and by my choice. Do you want more truth this morning? The reality is that because we are sinners, the wages of our sin is death. One day we're all going to die, and this death is both physical and spiritual. In fact, in the book of Revelation, they call this death the second death. All living souls will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. We will live forever somewhere in either heaven or hell. But let's think about this truth about salvation. Now, I believe that this is a good church. I believe this is a great church. But this church can never give you a ticket to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way. Look at this. And I'm the truth. I am the complete final revelation of God's pathway to eternal life. Jesus didn't simply teach truth. Jesus embodied truth. Everything he said, everything he did, and everything that he is perfectly reveals God to us. And friend, listen to me. It is truth that saves. The devil lies, and the devil deceives people into hell. But Jesus, as the truth, directs us to a restored relationship with God. I think this truth is wonderfully written in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is eternal life. And listen to me, this is important. Salvation, eternal life, is knowing God. It's restoration with God. This is eternal life. Eternal life is not dying and going to heaven. Eternal life is not going to the Father's house, though that's a wonderful byproduct of it. Eternal life is knowing God. It's restoration with God. And the only way we'll ever have that is not through lies and deception, but by the truth. Let's look what the Bible says. John 17:3. And I want to prove my point here. John 17:3. Notice what the Bible says in verse 3, John chapter 17, verse 3. The Bible says this, and this is life eternal. Look at this. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Heaven is achieved through the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. Can we notice thirdly? I am the life. I am the life. Let's go to John chapter 11. You're close by, the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. And can we notice what the Bible says here in verse 25? John 11 and verse 25. Look what the scriptures say here. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Can I say this morning, that life is precious and life is sacred? Randy Alcorn said this, because God is the giver and taker of human life, we have no right to usurp his role. All human life is sacred because all human beings are created in the image of God. And this is presented to us in Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. The sanctity of life was declared after the flood, combating the very mindset of Cain, when God says, in the image of God made he man. The fact is, life is precious. John said in John chapter 1, verse 4, and verse 4, that in Jesus is life, and this life is the light of men. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus is the life. He is life. And to have the Son is to have life. This is what the Bible says. 1 John 5, verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." You know, it's hard to believe, and just think about this for just a moment. I'm giving you biblical truth here. It's hard to believe that while we have an auditorium filled with people who look very much alive, that it's possible that there is one or two here this morning who are dead. You know, I have done funerals for people, and I'm not trying to sound crazy, but I've done funerals for people where the one in the casket was more alive than the ones in the congregation. And I hope that you understand what I'm trying to say is that if we are in Jesus, we have life. And Jesus said they will never die. This is eternal life. Life begins with Jesus. Someone has said the tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. And we begin it the moment we put our faith and trust in Jesus. Paul put it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 6, speaking of a widow who lives for herself apart from God. Paul said, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." You see, life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many in our world today that have homes and jobs and money and relationships, but according to the Bible, they are dead in their sins. They are separated from God. They do not have a relationship with God. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse number 1, "And you have he quickened," or being made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Jesus said this, "I am the life, the life. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Now, I want us to notice how Jesus ends this statement. And he tells us, first of all, that this is exclusive. Notice what the Bible says here. It says, "No man cometh unto the Father." Now, the word there, "no," is a special Greek word. It means no. No one can come to the Father. No one can get to my Father's house. Remember, Jesus is painting the final destination, the Father's house. But in order for us to go to the Father's house, preparation has to be made. Like those men who were cutting down the trees so that we could go to the store, Jesus went to a cross, and he's preparing the way, the place, so that we could go to the Father's house. And he said, "No one can go to the Father's house except they come through me." Adrian Rogers, if I could quote him again, said this so wonderfully. He said, "A man may go to heaven without wealth and without health, without fame, without a great name, without learning, without culture, without beauty, and without friends, but he will never go to heaven without Jesus. He's the way. He's the way." And it doesn't matter your fame or your fortune. It doesn't matter your background or your family. Jesus said, "No one will come to the Father except they go through me." I see also the exaltation of Christ. By him we come to God. Now this speaks of the truth that he is our mediator. He bridges the gap of humanity and God. Can we go in our Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5 and notice what the scriptures say here. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5.
First chapter 2 and verse number 5, the Bible says this, "For there is one God, and this one God shows himself in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus is our mediator. By Jesus, we have eternal life. And how does it happen? Well, it's his sacrifice on the cross. It's his preparation for mankind, his death and his resurrection. But not only do we notice that it is exclusive through Christ, that we are, Christ is exalted as the way and our mediator, but I want us to think about the empowerment that we have through Christ. Jesus said, by me. And for the Christian, we find life in Jesus. We live and enjoy our life through him. Colossians 3, verse 3 says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, who shall ye also appear with him in glory?" Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And Paul wrote to the church at Galatia and said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, Jesus called this the abundant life. It is life through him. And it's life that is founded on truth and on righteousness, and it is life that is eternal. And so the question I have for you this morning is, do you know Jesus? Do you know your sins are washed away? Jesus said, "I am the way, the only path to truly know God. I am the truth, the full and final revelation of eternal life. I am the life, the source of abundant and everlasting life." Do you know Jesus today? You will never go to heaven through error. You can only go to heaven through the truth. And that truth is Jesus. I hope you know him today. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful blessings that you've given to us, the opportunity that you have given to us to hear your word, to respond to your word, to hear truth in a world full of error. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, each of us, Lord, to follow that truth, to obey that truth for our lives. Lord, I pray that if there's an individual here that is not a Christian, that today they will give their life to you. And I pray, Lord, for the Christian here this morning, I pray that we would stand in confidence, knowing that you are the truth, the life, and that you are the way. And so, Lord, I pray you would have your way in our hearts this morning. Help us to make good decisions. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books.